man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever, for he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Well, it's a joy to be here today, and I'm glad that you're here. We rejoice with the singing, the sound doctrine. One of these young men, stand up, Jonathan, good-looking young man. I've known him for many years. I know his father and his mother. Dad is a wonderful evangelist and great singer. I just saw him last week at the conference in Walkertown, the Sword of the Lord. And by the way, I heard your pastor out from California, Brother Paul Chappell, I heard him preach. And next to my message, it was the best message there. It was my privilege to preach at the chapel services many years ago out there. And I praise God for that institution and for the training of young men and women to be stalwart soldiers of the cross. And now, without any further ado, I want you to open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Romans, chapter number 10. As the pastor and I stood in the lobby this morning, little Michael Evan Raymond Floyd came up to us and gave us the Roman road. I said, take my Bible. That's my text for this morning. You can just get up there and preach. And his eyes got that big. He probably would do it if I had insisted. But anyway, in the book of Romans, chapter number 10, I'm going to read beginning at verse 8, reminding you that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. After I pray, I will read Romans chapter number 10, beginning at verse number 8. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for this wonderful book of Romans. We thank you that in it we have not only the heart of Paul, but we have his head. And I pray that you'd use the scripture today to bring conviction to men and women, those without Christ, surely in this large congregation. There must be those who do not know him as personal Savior. I pray they would come to know him today. In his name we ask it, for his sake we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of Romans, chapter number 10, at verse number 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By way of introduction, I would share with you some startling stats about when people are saved. Would you listen very carefully? Historical research reveals that most people who ever get saved are saved before they reach the age of 15. Between ages 18 and 25, the ratio is one saved in 5,000. From age 25 to 35, the ratio is one in 25,000. From age 35 to 45, the ratio is one in 80,000. And beyond the age 45, one in a million. By the way, how old are you? Are you saved? Can you say with Paul, I know whom I have believed? Can you pillow your head tonight with the absolute assurance that Jesus Christ is yours? Can you say with the hymn writer, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, thou hast, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Could I give you a personal testimony? I was saved when I was 11 years of age. There are six of us boys in our family and three girls. We all just met in a family reunion 2 weeks ago. All nine of us were saved in our youth, and all nine of us are serving God. Four are preachers. The others try to preach once in a while, but they don't get too far. But I'm saying all that to say this, we all are still serving God, saved at a young age. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Bible says, come now. Come now, for all things are now ready. Ladies and gentlemen, God's time is always the present time. Life is uncertain. Death is sure. Sin is the curse. Christ is the cure. I've entitled this message, Salvation and How to Obtain It. The Simplicity of Salvation. What is salvation? I give you a simple definition. deliverance from spiritual death. The Bible calls it the second death. John in the Revelation says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." You, my friend, are on death row. Your execution could come at any time. You have an appointment with the God of the universe. Don't take my word for it. Listen to His word, Hebrews 9:27. "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Paul writes in Hebrews 10:31, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." Paul writes in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." James says in chapter 1 at verse 15, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Paul gives us an unmistakable truth about our accountability to God. Don't miss this. In Romans chapter 14 at verse 11, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us must give account of himself to God." Ezekiel said in 18:4, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Paul wrote in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." I would advise you to quit before payday. John said, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Ladies and gentlemen, salvation is not in an organization or a denomination or a conglomeration. Salvation is not in a church or a club or a code. Salvation is not in a covenant or a council or a creed. Ladies and gentlemen, I hasten to tell you that salvation is in a person, and only in a person, and only in one person, and that person is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for sinners slain. What a wonderful Savior. Is Jesus my Lord? What a wonderful Savior to me. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no salvation in Mohammed. There is no salvation in Confucius. There is no salvation in the Buddha. Salvation is in Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." The key note in all of this business of salvation is the word believe. Believe what God said. What did God say? God said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God said, "He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." God said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Did you notice every verse has the word believe? But somebody says, I don't understand it. Well, my friend, there's not a verse in the Bible that tells you to understand it. The Bible tells you to believe it. Only believe, and the work is done. You need Jesus, and you need only Jesus. The worst need him no more. The best can do with no less. In vain we search for peace with God by methods of our own. Dear Jesus, nothing but thy blood can bring us near thy throne. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Salvation is a happening. I remember growing up in my dad's church in Danville, Virginia. When testimony time came, we heard the old timers get up and tell how they were saved. I heard them say, you know, 6 inches below my collarbone, is there something that a piece that the devil didn't give me and the devil can't take away from me? But one of the things that refrained over and over again and again was this: I was there when it happened and I ought to know. I'm glad I was there when it happened. It's a happening that takes place between God and man. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It's a happening that takes place in the heart. Remember the words of my text? With the heart, not with the head, but with the heart, man believeth. Man believeth unto righteousness, unto salvation. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. You know, folks, it's a happening that takes place once and lasts for eternity. Remember what Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never, never perish. I understand that in the Greek, by the way, I'm not going to try to impress you with my knowledge of the original languages. I'm like Dr. J. Frank Norris. I know a little Hebrew and I know a little Greek. The little Hebrew runs a clothing store and the little Greek runs a cafe. But I understand it's a double negative. Never, never perish. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I love the way that Paul put it in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Time out. More than conquerors? That's what he said. More than Nebuchadnezzar, more than Nabonidus, more than Tiglath-Pileser, more than Belshazzar, more than Sennacherib, more than Shalmaneser, more than Sargon, more than Alexander the Great, more than the Caesars of Rome. Yes, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once in Christ forever. Nothing from his love my soul can sever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. I read the story about the young lady who had lived a sinful life and was saved in a Baptist church. Only a short time after she was saved, she went on vacation. She visited a church of another denomination and she heard the preacher say that a Christian could be lost after he was saved. He used this analogy. Chickens that stay under mother hen's wings stay dry. Chickens that go out get wet. Christians that stay under the blood, he said, remain saved. Those that get out, how could you get out? We are more than conquerors already, you know. She went back home, worried, distressed, upset. She talked to her pastor about it, and her pastor said, true enough, chickens that get out from under mother hen's wings get wet. But they're still chickens. They're just wet chickens. They don't become ducks. Wow, what a wonderful truth. We're in Christ. We're in Him forever. Nothing can separate us from Him. Someone asked, but then how can I be saved? I'll call Paul to the witness stand. He's the greatest witness I know in the New Testament apart from Jesus. And Paul said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, but can I be saved by baptism and membership and doing the best? I leave Paul on the witness stand, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. But can I be saved by keeping the law? Paul, would you remain with us just one more moment? Romans 3:19 and 20. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Let me ask you a question. If you needed heart surgery, would you call a plumber or an architect or a pawnbroker or an electrician? No. You'd call a heart specialist. Well, my friend, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, your heart needs a spiritual operation. And I recommend the great physician. His name is Jesus, and he alone can give you a new heart. And by the way, it will last. You'll never have a relapse. You'll never have to put in a stent. My brother Bob has had two bypass surgeries. In fact, out of the six boys, four boys, not me, but four of the boys have had heart surgery. Bob's had two heart surgeries. Just recently, a week before last, he had another stent. He's had 25 heart catheterizations. But you know, when Jesus operates on your heart, you don't need it but one time. It will last forever. No relapse. And you know what? He doesn't even charge you one red cent. Wow! What a wonderful Savior. Is Jesus my Lord? What a wonderful Savior to me. You ask then, but how can I be saved? By confessing Christ. That's what my text said. By receiving. It's not something you give up. It's someone you take on. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Oh, and by the way, that verse 13, would you look back at that? Whosoever, that's a comforting word. Oh my, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I come to the last invitation of the Bible in Revelation 22 at verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever is predestined, oh no. Whosoever is chosen, oh no. Whosoever is elected, no. Whosoever is authenticated, whosoever is sophisticated or regulated or educated or acclimated or coronated, oh no. Whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, if you're a hyper-Calvinist, that's not going to sit too good with you. But the Bible doesn't sit too good with you. You can take it or you can take it. because it's the truth of God's word. Oh, by the way, I ought to tell you, you don't have to bring a Passover lamb, because Christ, our Passover, has already been sacrificed for us. You don't have to mutilate your body, because the body of Jesus has already been mutilated for you, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible says. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You don't have to pay for your salvation. You know, Jesus took care of the paying of it and the price of it at Calvary. Stained with sin, myself abhorring, yet I come his grace imploring. Chief of sinners though I be, Christ has paid the debt for me. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. By the way, he did not pay the debt in part. He paid it in full. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. All you need to do is call on him. That's what he said. Say to him, dear Jesus, help me. I cannot help myself. Say to him, dear Jesus, save me. I cannot save myself. Say to him, dear Jesus, wash me in your blood. I cannot cleanse myself. My friend, you can take a bath in every pristine, pure fountain on this planet and then die and go to hell. But there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Many people are lost in youth because they are too young. Some are lost in manhood because they are too busy. Some are lost in maturity because they are too worried. Some are lost in old age because they're too old. Some are lost when they're sick because they're too ill. Some are lost when they're dead, but then it's eternally too late. What is your excuse? Let's stand, please, for our prayer. As we stand, his heads are bowed. The altar is open. The invitation has begun. No one should have to wait until we sing or pray or talk or anything else. If you're out there this morning and God has spoken to your heart, I would bid you step out of your seat, come to the front. While heads are bowed, who would say this morning by the lifted hand, and we're not going to embarrass you, nobody's going to drag you down the aisle, but who would say this morning, preach, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Not any merit of mine. I'm not perfect. I'm a long way, but I know I'm saved. Would you put your hand up all over the congregation? God bless you. God bless you. Some who could not, I speak to you now, if you would give me a moment and lend me your ear. Today is the day of salvation. You've already heard that. Now's the accepted time. You know that. Jesus is waiting, you know that. Who would say by the lifted hand, now I'm not saved. I know that I'm not. I've never trusted Christ. I've never been saved. But I'm concerned about my soul, and I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you put your hand up all over the congregation, wherever you might be, anywhere, everywhere, anybody, anyone? I'm lost. Well, I'm going to take for granted that everyone here is saved. If about Wednesday the telephone rings in the office and somebody with a trembling voice says, I wonder if Pastor Weaver will come and preach the funeral of my brother or my husband or my wife or my son, He was in church, or she was in church on Sunday, and she heard the message, but she never did anything about it. What would the pastor say? Don't let that happen to you. It can. We've had that experience in our ministries, and we know it. If you're here today without Christ, we bid you to come. Now, with heads bowed, who would say today, I have a loved one or special friend that's lost, somebody I work with, somebody on my block, somebody in my family. I know they're lost, and I want to see them saved. Would you put your hand up and say, pray with me? God bless you. I know it's 12 o'clock, but I'm going to ask you that lifted your hands about an unsaved loved one. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. This is all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to come and bring a carload of sins, though you may have them and want to bring them. But I'm going to ask you, if you lifted your hand, if you'd like to come and put that person's name, and I'm speaking symbolically, put that person's name on the altar. Pray for that person and ask God to help you to do what you can to win that person to Jesus Christ. Would you just step out of your seat right now? No pushing, no pulling, no prodding. We don't want numbers. We just want you to put somebody on the altar and put your heart there with that person, that you can do your best to see that person come to know.